Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today, I want to talk about the resurrection. If you've been tuning into the program this week, it's been one of the central themes of the readings of the day that we've been given at Mass, particularly for the teaching of St. Paul. And I thought it might be good to just wrap up the week taking a look at some of what the Catechism says about the resurrection. The resurrection is the central reality that the Church witnesses to, that Jesus Christ is, you know, died and was raised, and now he's at the right hand of the Father in glory. And it separates Christianity from everything else, every other religion. It separates Jesus from every other religious leader, teacher, guru, prophet, whatever, because he's the one who passed from death to life and began the new creation. He's the one who's the definitive he's the Son of God. And he's the one who has all power and authority. And we'll see, if we get a moment, today's first reading from Colossians, a beautiful hymn I've talked about periodically over the last year, of St. Paul declaring the truths, the fundamental truths about the absolute uniqueness, reality, the claims we make about Jesus, that Jesus made about himself and the apostles and their preaching. But let's look at a few paragraphs from the Catechism. That'd be helpful. Paragraph 989 of the Catechism says, "We firmly believe and hence we hope that." Hope is confidence now. Hope isn't just wishful thinking. Remember that. Hope is a deep confidence in what's been revealed by the Lord, we've been given from the Lord in the church. "Just as Christ is truly risen from the dead and lives forever, so after death, the righteous will live forever with the risen Christ, and he will raise them up on the last day. Our resurrection, like his own, will be the work of the Most Holy Trinity. It's a work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Here's a quote from, I think, one of the saints said, "If the Spirit of him who owns the gospel, or scripture, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you." That's from St. Paul. Let me read that again. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Now, here's a really crucial thing, friends, to see about what's at the heart of what it means to become a Christian. It's not just, you know, agreeing to become part of an organization. It's not just the transfer of important and critical information. What's being transferred is fundamentally life, new life, the life of the Holy Spirit, God's life. We enter the church through baptism. When God works a miracle, when the waters of baptism, the prayers of the church are prayed over us, this power of original sin is removed. We're cleansed of that stain. Moving from being separated from God, we're now then in the Spirit. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we become children of God. We're born again. Jesus said, "Unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is the family of God. You become a member of the family of God when you have the Spirit of the Son in you. And this Spirit, as the Catechism here is quoting the scripture, St. Paul, it says, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. That's the crucial thing. That's what you need. I need an answer to the sin problem, which produced the death problem, eternal separation from God problem. We need a new life in us. We need the divine life of God in us. And that's what happens in baptism. We're given a new life to enter in, to share in the life that belongs to Jesus. So the heart of Christianity is not a set of dogmas primarily. Those are just expressions in words of a reality. And the reality is our being united and sharing in a life that belongs to Jesus, who has passed from death to life. And now there's a life in us that's stronger than death. And we can say with St. Paul, yes, in Christ, we have swallowed up death in victory, and death no longer has hold over us. Death, where's your power? Where's your sting? Scripture says. So this is why the resurrection is so central, the resurrection of Jesus and our sharing in that, because that's what Christianity is about ultimately, right? In paragraph 990, the term flesh refers to man in his state of weakness and mortality. The resurrection of the flesh, the literal formulation of the Apostles' Creed, means not only that the immortal soul will live on after death, but that even our mortal body will come to life again. The Father has created in Jesus this whole of creation, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, human beings, the crown of creation, and we are embodied spirits. We're not just a spirit that has a shell. We are body and soul together, united. This is God's plan and purpose, a physical reality. Isn't that beautiful? And it's just like Jesus rose from the dead and he had a glorified body. We see some dimensions in it in how the scripture describes Jesus, what he's capable of doing, not doing, but we don't really know all of what that's going to entail. We have some ideas for sure in Christ, but we see it. We have a glimpse in faith and what's been communicated to us. So the Father's plan and resurrection is not just a spiritual resurrection. It's the resurrection of our whole being, body and soul, into the reality that Jesus now possesses. That's why he's the second Adam. Now, paragraph 991, belief in the resurrection of the dead has been an essential element of the Christian faith from its beginning. The confidence of Christians is the resurrection of the dead. Believing this, we live. I think that's Tertullian. Oh, let me see, 538. Yes, it's Tertullian. And so this is at the heart of it. This is what it means for us. I just love the way he put it. The confidence of Christians is in the resurrection from the dead. Good question to ask yourself today. Are you confident in the promises of Jesus and his capacity and willingness and desire to raise you from the dead and to give you eternal life? What a precious gift. And friends, there's a corollary or a reality, maybe it's a better way to say it, that flows from that conviction. When you believe that, and you believe that comes only to you from Jesus in your baptism, and you realize how unstoppable his will is, right? How powerful he is, but how loving he is, how tender his heart is toward you, what he's offering to you as a man, as a woman, his and him, Jesus, a man. He knows what it means to be human. He was united to our humanity, and that he's gathering a family, and we're in it. And the more we believe that, friends, the more we walk in freedom, the more we walk in internal peace, the more our hearts are filled with joy, real joy, God-given joy, Holy Spirit-given joy. And we become these new people. We start to look more like the Lord. And the saints are the living witness to this fact of what happens. And the key is to just keep going deeper, penetrating what we've been given, receiving it, exercising your freedom and your will and your mind toward grasping it, laying hold of it, and making it your own through God's help and through the help of the church, in the church and through the grace that we've been given. It's such a precious, precious reality. Now, further down in the catechism, there's a whole section called Risen with Christ that's worth meditating on. I encourage you to just go to this section in the catechism because it's very rich, filled with lots of reflection, good scripture passages being highlighted, as well as the teaching of the fathers of the church and the magisterium in history. It says, here's paragraph 1002. It says, Christ will raise us up on the last day, but it is also true that in a certain way, we've already risen with Christ. For by virtue of the Holy Spirit, Christian life is already now on earth, a participation in the death and resurrection of Christ. It's crucial to know that fact, because many times we live without this realization. I remember, I think I've talked just recently, Christian Smith, the great sociologist, I think he's at Notre Dame years ago, talked about what a description of what characterizes the faith of people. What does their actual living faith look like? How could you describe it? Is it like this, what the catechism is talking about, like a deep conviction that we're living right now, the presence of the kingdom's in me now, I'm already living and sharing in the resurrected life, and I know it, and I experience it, and I'm walking in it? But he described, he said, what dominates our culture is what he called moralistic, therapeutic deism. What's deism? Remember, it's the idea of God that, yes, God created things, but he just kind of wound it all up like a clock, and then now you're kind of living it out, but he's separated, he's distant, he's not engaged, right? And you live from your own resources. So That's the deistic part. Moralistic part is the idea that Christianity is reduced to commandments, reduced to moral laws. It's very interesting. Pope Francis gave a homily recently, a very good one, on talking about we have to be careful that the law leads us to Christ. Christianity is not first about the written law. Christianity is first about Christ and the gift of the new law, which is the Holy Spirit in us, which is a new heart. The Spirit writes the law of God on our interior life. So we're not just following external commandments. Commandments are all fulfilled in what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. But fundamentally, the law leads us to a relationship with a person who can make this reality happen in us. The law, friends, can't give you eternal life. The law can't make you a son or daughter of God. Only God can do that. Only Christ, being united to Jesus, can do that. And then even living the law, or let's say putting forth great effort, kind of moral striving, which is the kind of thing that Christian Smith is talking about there, all the moral striving in the world isn't going to produce eternal life. Eternal life is God's gift to us, and it comes to us in His Son, and it comes from repenting and receiving the good news about Jesus and what He's done for us and having His death applied to our life. We're cleansed then from the sin that holds us back, that's killed us. And that now the blood of Jesus purifies us and makes it possible for us to become children of God. Because moralistic striving, which can't produce eternal life, it doesn't produce God's life. God's life comes to us and we receive it. What do we need? We need a life that we don't have. Why? Because the life we have is not enough. We're dying. And we're separated from God eternally. We need God's divine life and the power to become children of God. It's very important for us to be able to see that. And that's what the Catechism is reminding of us here. It's very important. And then he quotes, "And you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised you from the dead. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God," St. Paul. So, you're dead. You're dead. The old man is dead. There's a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ. You're living by a new power. You become a new person, a new reality, a child of God, living in the kingdom of God. It's important to meditate, friends, not only on the life side of it, you know, like coming to new life in Christ, which is great, but take some time, ask yourself the question, what does it mean that I'm dead? I was put to death in baptism. The old man in me, the drives, the dominion, the power that was over my life, I was put to death. You were united in baptism to the crucifixion of Jesus. The cross of Christ was applied to your life. And that dimension of your existence that we were born into, of rebellion and resistance to God, has to die. And Jesus, in this loving and merciful way, put it to death. And He's given us now His heart, His life, His Spirit, His inheritance as Son of God. And we enter the family of God. And that family lives by a new life principle. It's the presence and the power of the Spirit at work within us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.